Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to another Invest with Clarity podcast with Mark Pearson. Today, we are going to talk about, are there diamonds in the rough? Now, Mark, let's just start with the question. Are there diamonds in the rough? And what do you mean by this deep philosophical question?
Well, I don't know how deep it is. I've been stuck in my house for over 2 months now, so I never want to pretend myself to be philosophical in nature, but I think I'm becoming that way as I sit at home quarantined. Diamonds in the rough, the idea, can you find the gem in the rough when things are rough in the tough times? Markets went down 30%+ quicker than any time in history. Were there diamonds in the rough? Were there opportunities of great businesses to invest in? That's the first answer to the question of what I mean by are there, you know, what are diamonds in the rough?
All right. Well, right? Give me an example.
So one, there's so many after the markets have rebounded, but some specific things. And again, this is not a solicitation or a recommendation for any stock we mentioned on the podcast here. Let's take, for an instance, a company like Square. Okay. Everyone's talking about how it's going to be a new economy. It's going to be a different world when we come out of this coronavirus. And there will be different businesses that will succeed probably more than others, certainly coming out of the coronavirus. Well, a company like Square, well-run, considered what's called a fintech company. If you go to any retailer, if you go to retailers around your town there, you've probably used a Square machine. Square is a very good, well-run, keeping it general here, fintech, financial technology company. And before the whole coronavirus thing hit, Square was about, I think, a $93 stock, 92 somewhere, 87, I think was the high. It started the year at like 60, 63. So between January and March, it went from 63 to like 87. The coronavirus hit, and that stock bottomed at $32.33 quicker than you can blink an eye. Now, there are many reasons why stocks go up and stocks go down, but a lot of stocks went down heavily, obviously, during the heat of the 36% downturn or 35% downturn we saw very quickly. But what's interesting is the stock started the year, like I said, I think somewhere around $63 a share, right? Today, as I'm speaking to you, the stock is trading at $76. So it's still higher than when it started the year. But remember in previous podcasts, I've talked about the power of flexibility and the power of transparency, right? This is where you learn, Matt, the power of flexibility and transparency, the power of knowing what you own and why you own it. And we were putting our list together of companies we wanted to own, our portfolio allocation when we came out of the financial crisis. So we started buying Square at $35 a share. That has paid huge dividends for our clients in a short period of time. Now, you know, we haven't sold it, but my point is there are always diamonds in the rough because I keep pounding the table and telling podcast listeners this. Volatility is not risk. There's far greater risk, Matt, in not knowing what you own and why you own. There's far greater risk in not being able to take advantage of volatility, to take advantage of things that go on sale, to take advantage of diamonds in the rough. Great run businesses, right? And there's a lot of companies like that, right? I mean, everything really went down. Some went down more than others. Visa went to $134 a share. Today it's back at $182 a share. These are big swings. And as you know, many investors have their money invested in exchange traded funds and mutual funds. And when you have periods of volatility, when you have extreme situations like this, and we have had other big corrections, the inability to not take advantage of stuff on sale for long-term investing becomes huge. And that's why we love that quote. I think I said in the last podcast from Shelby Davis, people make the most money in bear markets. They just don't realize it at the time.
Well, let me ask
you
this.
How do you find the diamonds in the rough?
Right. So
go ahead.
Does the Clarity roadmap and investing with Clarity and understanding what you own and why you own it, does it really only work during times like this?
That's a great question. That's actually a great question. Matt, that may be the best question, frankly, you've ever asked me.
Woohoo!
You're not going to stump me, though. And you weren't trying to stump me.
No, I was
one,
being
so
quite.
Okay.
Yeah, I was totally being serious there. I just, you know, I understand your methodology.
Exactly.
So break it down, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. It always works. It just so happens that when you have an extreme situation like we're having right now, or like we had in March, there's lots of things that are on sale. This is why it is so important to have an asset allocated portfolio. I think you asked me on the last podcast, do you ever have cash available to buy things? Do you always have some cash to take advantage of things, or are you always fully invested? Well, in our growth portfolios, for the most part, we're fully invested. So how do you take advantage of buying Square then if you're fully invested, or some of the other companies that we bought during the downturn?
That's a good question.
It's because of your asset allocation.
Okay.
Not everything goes up and down at the same level, i.e., we've talked about this before, investment beta, the relative volatility of a stock's performance compared to its benchmark. And beta, high beta stocks means they're higher volatility. Now, investors construe that as higher risk. But if you're a longer term investor, don't you want higher beta stocks? Because the greater volatility gives you greater opportunity to buy more of those on sale, right? And we were fully allocated when this thing hit, okay? And does that mean we weren't able to take advantage of things? No, we probably, Matt, changed about 13 or 14 positions in the overall portfolio. We only own 25 to 30. So almost half of the portfolio changed. That's substantial.
Yeah.
That's huge. With minimal tax gains, primarily tax loss harvesting, and repositioning the portfolio. So what happened was, during this volatility, we created greater alpha. Alpha, of course, is the outperformance relative to a benchmark, right? So if your benchmark is down 13% and you're down 3%, you've performed 10 percentage points better than an index. That's pretty substantial, right? And even if it's 5 percentage points, even if you're down 7%, 8% in a down market, you know, we've talked about that volatility of beta and alpha, right? Beta, we believe, gives you greater opportunity to create alpha. People don't like volatility, man, as you know. Why? Because they don't know what they own and they don't know why they own it. And they become emotionally predisposed because of the uncertainty associated with it. They talk about it on the business news all the time. The stock market, investors don't like uncertainty. I do. I love uncertainty. We need uncertainty every day. It's like I told my head of research the other day. You know, he's you know, lamenting over all these comments and commentary we hear out of the financial news press and analysts and economists. And I said, Chuck, if we didn't have that, the power of the Clarity message would not be as powerful. You need to have that. You need to have that sense of chaos. You need to have that sense of uncertainty, because that uncertainty is what allows people who have clarity the ability and the opportunity to take advantage of the opportunities that lay before them. That makes sense?
It does make sense. It makes a lot of sense. Now,
thank you.
When everything goes back to whatever in God's name normal means, right?
Yep.
Are people going to be looking back on this? I have a better question. When people look back at this and they're active versus or they're passive investors, so the buy and hold sort of people, and the market goes back to where it kind of should be, how do you overcome the objection that, well, if you just wait it out, you're going to be back just fine?
I always tell people, do you want to invest in average? Do you want your money to be invested in average? I mean, that's what the benchmark, that's your average. right? Do you want to invest in average or do you want to invest in above average? Now, there are no guarantees. Historically, we've had success doing that. Full disclosure, doesn't mean we won't in the future, but that's why we focus so much on the process, right? I'll tell you, I may have said this in one of the podcasts during the coronavirus podcast. We had clients contacting advisors telling them to quit making them so much money during the downturn because they were looking at some of the companies that were purchased in the downturn and they're up 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70% from when they were purchased because in the heat of the volatility was the heat of the opportunity for us to sharpen the sword, if you will, right? Sharpen the portfolio, increase the quality of portfolio, just as we talked about before. Look, what I'm saying, Matt, is common sense. I've had advisors, I've had investors that we don't work with say things like clients asking advisors, why did we not take advantage of buying these companies when they were on sale? People identify with Boeing. They identify with Disney, right? They identify with Microsoft. They identify with Apple, right? They identify with brands. They identify with the idea of knowing what they own and why they own it, right? And so sophisticated investors, even people who consider themselves semi-sophisticated investors, understand the concept that if Visa goes, you know, when you look at a stock like a Visa, which, you know, is a great run company, it's a Dow stock, right? And that Dow stock goes from the 52-week high, which was 214, down to 134 in basically 2 months. Is that a time to sell it or a time to buy it? Incidentally, it's back to $182 a share. I mean, it's not going to take long to be traded probably back at its all-time high. So investors are – let me put it to you this way. Here's what I think actually happened, Matt. This is just my opinion. We have never experienced a correction this fast. Certainly not like 87. We haven't seen anything really bad since 87, right? The 87 crash. Investors today have never seen a 30, 35% pullback as fast as it happened, right? And so you get kind of stunned and you're shell-shocked. And when you're going through it, you're kind of in this panic mode. But at that point, at 35% down, you got to be an investor in these great businesses. A lot of these businesses were down 40, 50, 60% at that point, right? You've got to be in a position to have what? Flexibility and transparency and a process you understand for picking businesses that fit your asset allocation strategy long-term. I mean, the opportunity to buy Visa at $134 a share hasn't happened for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing, I haven't looked at the chart, maybe 2 to 3 years, right? And here it's all the way back to 181. And that's what volatility creates. Now, you asked the question earlier, does it work, you know, only during situations like this? No, there are great businesses that have the exact same thing that happens. I can remember, I think I told you the story about Renaissance Re. Renaissance Re was a reinsurance company. And when the Japanese tsunami hit, I don't know, what has that been now, about 9 years or so ago? Renaissance Re went from like $72 or $78 down to $62. It was like a 20%, 25% pullback in 1 day because investors were selling reinsurance stocks because they didn't know what the damages were going to be from the tsunami, right? Well, here, Renaissance Re wasn't even a reinsurance company for the Japanese tsunami. So in other words, it was getting hammered in sympathy, which happens a lot. And I was on my cross trainer. I got off my cross trainer, market open, got on the computer and put the orders in and bought a bunch of RenRe at, you know, $62 a share. Got up to about 206 or 7 earlier this year, trading at 160 right now. Volatility creates the opportunity to take advantage of finding great businesses on sale. More importantly, diamonds in the rough. There are always diamonds in the rough. Like Jim Cramer says, there's always a bull market somewhere.
Okay.
You just have to find it.
Now, but diamonds are expensive. So I'm gonna redirect you here. So diamonds are expensive. And if you do find the diamonds in the rough and you do buy a stock on a substantial discount and then you sell that stock at a substantial increase, when you said earlier that some of your clients or advisors are saying, stop making us so much money, there are tax implications there. How in God's name do you manage that?
Oh, great question. Well, you got great questions today.
I'm on fire, brother.
So portfolio structure coincides with investment process. The investment process is what? Your buy discipline and your sell discipline. What constitutes buying? What constitutes selling? We usually don't liquidate an entire position. We sell a portion. So we have four sell disciplines. Sell discipline number one, if the long-term fundamentals of that company have changed, sell it. Get out of it. I think the long-term fundamentals of the airline stocks, at least certainly for the next 2, 3, 4 years, probably have changed. We didn't own airlines, don't own airlines, don't have an interest in owning airlines, but that's maybe changed, right? Certainly retail's changed. There are going to be areas of this economy where things have changed. The long-term fundamentals have changed. You sell it, gain or loss. You don't ask questions. You move on. Number two, you never get in trouble for taking profit. It's always good to take profit in a company you own, take that cash, and redeploy it into other companies that may be on sale, right? Number three, tax loss harvest. Sell a position for tax loss harvesting to offset future gains. And the fourth sell discipline, which we did a lot of during this financial crisis, I mean, this pullback, we sold a lot of really good businesses, businesses we've owned for a while. You know, I think of like Lockheed Martin, L3 Harris, J&J. You know, these are really, really good companies, right? But extreme volatility in an overall market and economy creates the opportunity for forced sell discipline, which is increasing the quality of the company you own in your portfolio. Selling one good company for a better company, whether it's in the same sector or not. And so if you follow those four sell disciplines, and then you follow your buy disciplines, and you follow your investment process, this is what allows you, I believe, to enhance your ability to be a successful investor. It gets back to the four keys of successful investing we talked about in one of our original podcasts. Your investment philosophy, your investment strategy, flexibility, and transparency.
We've been podcasting together for a long time. I honestly don't know if I've ever had you break down those four sell disciplines before.
Really? Yeah. I would have thought I have.
Well, you know what? I would have thought you had too, which is I was sitting here taking notes, thinking to myself, man, that's really good.
Well, thank you.
Well, but I don't even think...
This is the core to our investment process, right? It's this ability, and they all work together,
right?
No one thing stands alone on its own. You've got to have the buy discipline. You have to have the sell discipline. You have to have the asset allocation strategy. You have to have your investment philosophy and strategy that you believe in. And lastly, you have to have the flexibility and the transparency. All of those coincide with your buy and sell discipline, which bring together your investment process. The ability to find, you said diamonds are expensive. Diamonds in the rough are the ones that are really expensive, but no one really knows how expensive they are. So you know they're expensive, but you found it cheap. And we've had lots of companies over time do that. And that is, you know, I've given the story about Celgene before, right? I mean, there's always going to be diamonds in the rough somewhere. It just so happens that during periods like this, you have an opportunity to take advantage of increasing the quality of the portfolio. So if you look at some of the companies that we've bought coming out of this financial crisis, I really believe that the asset allocation we have for our clients right now may be the best asset allocation I've ever had. I really believe it. I really do. Because the financial crisis was different. It took more time in the financial crisis for it to bottom. And now, right, it happened so fast. There were so many companies. I mean, I literally quarantined with my investment team. I mean, we were literally buying stuff for hours straight during a 2-3 week period. And when you're down as much as you are in some of these companies, I mean, the stories we're going to tell one day are going to be extraordinary. And it does remind me a lot of the financial crisis and seeing some of the stocks. You know, I gave the MasterCard story during the financial crisis. You know, that stock went from like 400 to 200, if I remember right. It was cutting 50% in half. And today that stock sits at like, I don't know, 283 or something like that, 275. I haven't looked at it today. You know, we've owned it for years, right? 273 today, right? Mm. By the way, that's for the 10 for 1 split. So basically that means that that stock was $20 at the bottom of the financial crisis.
Wow.
And today it's at 273. You see, investors focus on the shiny stuff and short term. We've talked about it before. The average holding period of stock today is 8 months. Back when our parents were growing up, it was 8 years.
I'm really glad.
It's all starting to come together now, Matt.
Well, it does.
All the pieces of the process are coming together.
Well, and it's fun that somebody's process somewhere is actually showing some sort of light, because there seems to be more processes out there that are going dark because they don't have the discipline. They don't have all of the aspects of truly investing with clarity. And I'm really glad that you brought up the idea of being able to find expensive diamonds on a discount. I was hoping that that's where you would go with that big picture question that I had asked you, because that's what a diamond in the rough is, right? It's that opportunity to find something that is worth so much more than you're going to get it, but nobody else is paying attention to it.
Well, it's the Celgene story, right? It goes from 100 down to 66 during the pullback in 2018. We bought it at 66. Mavium went down to 62. And then right around the new year, it was bought by Bristol Myers for basically, at the end of the day, about $104 a share, right? There are always opportunities to buy great businesses on sale. It's finding the discipline that you have and the criteria. Now, you may not want to spend the time doing it. That's why I hire professionals to do it. But there are always diamonds in the rough. And the beauty is there are always more diamonds in the rough, Matt, during periods of volatility. And that's why we get to the point of saying volatility is what creates the opportunity to take advantage of buying those great businesses on sale. And volatility is not risk. Not knowing what you own and why you own it, in my opinion, is a far, far greater risk.
And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Closing thoughts.
Stay safe, stick to the knitting, and I look forward to talking to you next time.
Magnificent. If you have not checked out the Nepsis website, make sure that you do. We'll make sure that that link is in the show notes. And there's a couple of really great resources on the site in order for you to really take a look at not just what the Clarity Roadmap looks like, but also to be able to look at what you're invested in and really how to truly give it a real stress test. So for everybody at Nepsis and Mark Pearson, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor.